from WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting Central and Northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, more farmers are fixing up their decades-old equipment rather than buying new. That's in the midst of a tough farm economy.
We have a budget. We have to live with that.
Farmers' decisions around fixing, upgrading, or buying new machinery. That's just ahead. And another Michigan trivia question for this week's Brain Teaser. We will be watering your brain with knowledge. And it's right after this. A petition to recall Antrim County Clerk Victoria Bishop was again denied this week by the Board of State Canvassers. This is the second recall petition against Bishop that was decided in a split vote along party lines. Similar to the last Board of State Canvassers hearing, Bishop's lawyer argued successfully that the reason for recall was too vague to proceed. Ashley Arita, the Antrim County resident who filed both petitions, told the board she thought the language was exceptionally clear. The language in the petition was taken from a June letter from the Bureau of Elections reprimanding Bishop on her actions with the voter rolls and revoking her access to the qualified voter file. Michigan has its first human case of a potentially deadly mosquito-borne illness in 5 years. Steve Carmody reports.
The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services says a Roscommon County resident has tested positive for Eastern equine encephalitis. State health officials say Triple E has a 30% fatality rate for infected humans. Testing is underway to assess the level of risk in Roscommon County. The health department advises people to avoid mosquito bites, use insect repellents, and wear shoes and socks, light-colored long pants, and long-sleeve shirts when outdoors. I'm Steve Carmody.
Conservationists say they oppose a potential rule change that would remove federal protections for tens of millions of acres of national forest land. The Trump administration wants to end the so-called roadless rule, and that rule blocks road construction and, by extension, timber harvests and forests with primarily older trees. The change could impact 16,000 acres across Michigan's three national forests. USDA officials say repealing the rule will mitigate wildfire risks. Andy Olson is a former policy advocate with the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and he contends repealing the roadless rule will create more wildfires.
When you walk through the national forest, you'll notice that a road is a long clear cut. They just clear cut all the trees and they make them wider than ever these days. And, you know, then that allows more sun to get in. It dries out the litter on the floor. It increases wildfire risk.
Public comment on the potential policy change will run through September 21st. The USDA said in a statement that the repeal would not mandate new tree cutting or construction. Two Democratic lawmakers say the shutdown of a mid-Michigan manufacturing plant is a result of Trump's trade policies. South Korea-based SK Siltron announced last month that they're shutting down a plant near Bay City, resulting in 140 people losing their jobs. Michigan's U.S. Senator Alyssa Slotkin says Trump's economic strategy on tariffs has made economic planning hard.
When you create these really volatile conditions, when you don't know what's going to be tariffed or how much you're going to have to spend as a company to bring in source materials, when you don't know who in your supply chain you can rely on, it is really hard to make investments and make decisions to stay in places.
The Trump administration says their tariff strategy will make American companies less reliant on foreign trade and bolster domestic supply chains. The plant's opening came during the Biden administration after being given a $544 million loan from the federal government. SK Siltron recently paid off that loan. My Michigan Health and the local nurses union in Alma were unable to reach a new contract agreement this week. WCMU's Rick Brewer reports.
The nurses' union has been working without a contract since February. They've now had 17 rounds of failed negotiations with My Michigan. Shannon Schinnebarger is president of the local nurses' union. She says My Michigan's latest wage offer was well below the cost of living.
Gas costs us more, food costs us more, insurance costs us more, and the raise that they're offering doesn't keep up with inflation.
The Alma nurses went on a 3-day strike back in July, but Schinnebarger says the union isn't planning any more strikes between now and their next contract negotiation on September 1st. In a statement, My Michigan Health said they remain committed to negotiating in good faith and reaching a fair agreement that supports nurses and preserves high-quality patient care. Rick Brewer, WCMU News.
The Saginaw City Council voted this week to delay a vote on a controversial ordinance to control so-called nuisance gatherings. The measure is intended to help police officers to break up gatherings that sometimes end in violence, but the council agreed to delay a vote until November to address concerns raised by civil libertarians. And federal lawmakers are asking the U.S. Coast Guard to prioritize development of a new icebreaker for the Great Lakes. WCMU's Blaise Carpenter has more.
Great Lakes shipping officials say they lost roughly a third of this year's season due to, quote, inadequate icebreaking by the Coast Guard. Congresswoman Krista McDonald-Rivett of Bay City and other members of Congress recently sent a letter to the Coast Guard. They're asking the department to provide more updates on the development of a new vessel that is more capable than its current cutter, Mackinac.
What we're using now is outdated and doesn't do the job that we need it to do in order to break up those big chunks of ice.
The Coast Guard said in a letter back to lawmakers that they were committed to bringing another icebreaker to the Great Lakes and that plans are under executive review. A new icebreaker could cost around $350 million and would take 3 years to build, according to Great Lakes shipping officials. They say shipping delays can have ripple effects on national supply chains. I'm Blaise Carpenter, WCMU News.
And it's time for this week's Brain Teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So, let's draw. And it's Michigan trivia time. Today's question is, you're never more than 6 miles away from this in the state of Michigan. What am I? Again, you're never more than 6 miles away from this in the state of Michigan. What am I? No rush. Think about it, and we'll discuss right after this. Farming is expensive, and this year it's gotten even pricier with the rising cost of fertilizer and fuel. Equipment prices have also reached historic highs. Because of that, many farmers are choosing to fix their old tractors and combines instead of buying new. WCMU's Emma George Griffin reports.
If you visit Kellogg Family Farms in central Michigan, you'll see hundreds of acres of soybeans, century-old barns, and piles of old machinery.
Some of the equipment we'll never use again.
That's Dennis Kellogg, the sixth-generation owner of Kellogg Farms.
But it's amazing how if I need a part or something that's similar that'll work on even a different brand, I'm able to go and find something that'll work.
Kellogg likes working on older equipment. He says it's easier and cheaper to repair machinery that's not computerized. But in recent years, it's become more of a necessity.
More than likely, we'd update if we had financial resource and the justification for it. We have a budget. We have to live within.
Kellogg and other farmers are coping with a tighter farm economy. With trade uncertainty and rising costs, producers don't have much more to spend on machines that can cost upwards of $1 million. Farm equipment sales have declined by more than 20% this year, according to data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Drew Kinsey is an agriculture research analyst at the University of Missouri. While he says more farmers are now relying on old equipment, it's been a trend for years.
We go back 50-plus years ago. Then it was much more common for every farm up and down the road to have new equipment.
He says until the late 90s, technological advancements made older machines obsolete. Now, Kinsey says even decades-old machines have the bare-bone capabilities to get the job done. Plus, he says new technology can even be installed in older equipment.
It's really been pretty revolutionary in the last 20 years as far as, you know, enabling farms to have older equipment still be competitive with the latest and greatest.
In Paducah, Kentucky, Donnie Edwards and his son have a repair shop on their 2,000-acre farm. That's especially handy since Edwards says new equipment is just too costly right now.
It's a tough pill to swallow. Well, you need to spend another $100,000 on computerized stuff for your combine, tractor, sprayer, everything that goes with it. But you're not going to make all that much more money.
Edward says he taught his son to repair equipment, knowing it's becoming almost a survival skill in farming. But by forgoing new technology, farmers may lose out on efficiency. That's according to Doug Hauser, who specializes in digital agriculture at Iowa State University. He says farmers have to be extremely intentional when deciding what services and equipment are worth investing in.
A lot of farmers right now are stepping back and trying to figure out their equipment plans, whether it's more maintenance or if it's time to trade into maybe not new paint, but maybe some used updated equipment.
Some farmers are sidestepping big purchases like combines by hiring out part of their work. Laura Hafner harvests grain for farmers from Texas to North Dakota. She says it can be a cheaper alternative for farmers who don't want to repair or pay for costly upgrades.
Oftentimes, farmers only engage in harvesting for a short period of time. While they might use it for several weeks or maybe a month, the rest of that year, that equipment's going to sit in the shed or in the lot, not doing anything. It's not making money.
The service is a good option for some farmers, but it doesn't work for everyone. For many farmers, mending their old equipment is one way to stay afloat for now, until the farm economy improves. I'm Emma George Griffin, Harvest Public Media.
That was WCMU's Emma George Griffin reporting for our partners at Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And it's time to reveal the answer to this week's Brain Teaser. Today's question is, you're never more than 6 miles away from this in the state of Michigan. What am I? Again, you're never more than 6 miles away from this in the state of Michigan. What could it be? Well, I think you know it. The answer is, I am water. Yes, in Michigan, you're never more than 6 miles from a natural body of water and never more than 85 miles from one of the Great Lakes. The state contains over 11,000 inland lakes and tens of thousands of miles of streams and rivers. Then hopefully you got that right. It wasn't too watered down for you, was it? I didn't think so. That's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, WCMU.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Schall. Mike Horace is our executive producer. And I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Have a great rest of your weekend.